Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for your word that is so precious to us. And Lord, as we study your word and come before you and look at your word this morning, Father, I ask that it come alive in our hearts, that it become real to us, that it will be spirit and life. Father, you said the words you speak are spirit and life. And we thank you, Lord, that these words will come alive in us today and that we'll grasp them and receive them unto ourselves and live them. We thank you, Father. Amen. Well, we're going to start in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And this first scripture I'm going to be reading in the Message. And then most of my scriptures today are New King James Version. But when I have something different, I'll let you know. Because if it's real different from yours, you may just want to look at it on the screen. Hallelujah. It says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Hallelujah. That sounds good, doesn't it? I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Hallelujah. Keep company with me. You know, do you feel like anything's heavy and ill-fitting in your life? Hallelujah. God doesn't put, Jesus said he didn't put things ill-fitting and heavy on you. And so we are admonished to keep company with him and to learn to live freely and lightly. We're going to be studying grace and faith today. It said, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. In the Strong's Concordance, the word for grace is charis, which is also the word that charisma and charismatic come from. Same word, same derivative as grace. And the primary definition of grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life. When God's divine presence, hallelujah, influences our heart, there will be a reflection in our lives. Definitions of grace also include acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, liberality, pleasure. God takes pleasure in his people. You know, he pours out his pleasure to us. That's such good news. Another Greek scholar defined grace as a steady current of divine power. Wow, that's grace. A steady current of divine power. Grace is very closely related to the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Grace is available to every person. Everybody, God says, come to me. Come, everyone. And it's just available to all of us, but we have to receive it by faith. God doesn't force grace on anyone. It's a gift that we receive by faith. When we're born again, you know, we say, Jesus, I'll make you my Lord. You're my shepherd. I will follow you. I will walk with you. Where you lead me, I will follow. You know, that's part of being born again, making the decision that, you know, Jesus is now our shepherd. And what do you do? What does the sheep do with the shepherd? They follow the shepherd. And we're to follow Jesus. When we receive God's divine influence in our lives, it will definitely reflect to everyone around us. Hallelujah. It'll produce good fruit. Is it possible to walk away from grace, the divine influence of God in our lives? We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Going to Galatians 5:4. This is Paul writing. And He said, you have become estranged from Christ or separated from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. This is a difference between trying to follow rules and having a relationship. In the Old Testament, people had to try to follow the rules or the laws of Moses. In the New Testament, God moved to relationship. And if we are living our lives trying to keep rules, we're missing the relationship with the Lord. And that's what God wants, is a relationship with us. Hallelujah. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. We're going to another scripture, Hebrews 12. We're going to read 15, and then we're going to 16. Verse 15, it says, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and this many become defiled. So we can fall short of the grace of God. I'm going to read the next verse, verse 16 in the Message. It just says it so good. It says, watch out for the Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You know, if we want something different than what God wants from us, it's like we separate ourselves from His love. God's love's always there. His grace is always there. He always wants fellowship with us. He always wants us. But sometimes when we want our own way instead of God's way, we step away. Self-righteousness, self-indulgence, or an independent spirit can separate us from grace, which is God's divine influence in our life. We need to be dependent on God. We need God. I need God. It's like every day, all day long, every day, I need God's presence in my life. And you know, some people get born again and they'll say, well, you know, I've been born again for so many years and I know the word and I know this and I've got it handled. Now I can live this Christian life. I know how to do it. No, we don't. We need God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. He wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want us just to learn all of the things that we ought to do to be good Christians. That's not what He wants. He wants relationship. He wants us to depend on Him and need Him. Hallelujah. That's where it's at. Hallelujah. And the good news is that when we do get the wrong attitude, when we do mess up and sin in whatever way, God's there. He's there. He's saying, come back, come back, come back. And all we need to do is to repent and turn the other way and go back to God because He's there. And His arms are wide and His arms, you know, He wants fellowship with His children more than we want fellowship with Him. And so He's always like this, come home, come home, come home. You know, and even in our daily lives, we can get a bad attitude and just everything will turn sour and we'll just explode or whatever. And it's like you can just feel it. You just feel like, I don't have that closeness. And all we have to do is turn around and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And just renew that constant flow of His Spirit upon us. Hallelujah. Rather than separate ourselves from grace, the divine influence of the Lord, we're admonished to grow in grace in 2 Peter 3:18. It says, rather you must grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen. So God, we're admonishing to grow in relationship. We grow in the Lord. Come closer to Him. Hallelujah. In Matthew 3:11, when John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." Who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Jesus does. Hallelujah. John 14:16-17, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. And it's Jesus praying, and he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, take into its heart, because it does not see him or know or recognize him. For he lives with you constantly, and he will be in you." This was Jesus' promise. And then in Acts 2, God poured out the Holy Spirit, where now the Holy Spirit is living inside. He's living in us. Hallelujah. We're going on to John 15. 4-5, and this is one of my favorite scriptures, but Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." When we live in fellowship with the Lord, connected to the vine, which is the divine power source, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control will be a natural flow in our life. You know, it's not something that we make happen. But when we live and connected to Jesus, his presence is there, and those attributes just flow out of us as we're in fellowship with him. Our life will reflect God's life. We will represent Jesus or represent Jesus to this world when we're living in fellowship with him. Sometimes people try to have these attributes in their own selves, and it really just doesn't work. I mean, have you ever said, "I'm going to love that person if it kills me"? You know, you just "I'm going to make myself forgive them. I'm going to make myself love them." And, you know, that's really not love at all. And it doesn't come out that way either. Because we can't drum up the gifts of the Spirit in our own selves. But what we do is when we are upset with someone, we come to Jesus and we just begin to praise him and worship him and bathe in his love. And as we come to him, he heals those hurts and he heals those wounded places. And when we hang out with him, when we hang out with Jesus in his presence, our attitude begins to change. It's not something that we've had to make ourselves do. It's just a natural happening when you hang out with the Lord and in his presence. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace, a steady current of divine power, abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work." This verse follows other verses about giving. And when we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our finances, the Lord of everything we have, we're just blessed with that divine power that flows through us that can cause us to have an abundance of all things. Hallelujah. We're going to go now to Ephesians 2, and we're going to read 4-9. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us." God's mercy and his love is so awesome. Verse 5, "Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ." It says, "By grace you have been saved, by his presence, by his power source, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. You know, God is a good God, and he only wants to be kind to us and love us, and he only wants the best for us. That's our God. That's so awesome. Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not only do we receive salvation by grace, but grace is meant to be a way of life in God's kingdom, in God's family. We're to live with a steady flow of divine power. You know, and that's what's in our spirit. It's there. Just have to connect to that flow of divine power within us. And we receive grace through faith. And because we receive grace by faith, we're going to be looking at faith a little bit now. In the Word, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's also a gift of the Spirit. And it's not something that we can struggle with in our flesh to try to get. Faith comes by connecting to God, with God, through his word and being in his presence. Hebrews 11:1 gives us a definition of faith, which is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of the benefits of God's kingdom. Faith is like a mirror that reflects the realities of an unseen world. We can see the unseen world through faith. Through the prayer of faith, we are able to pull the reality of God's world into this one. Hallelujah. The function of faith is to pull the reality of the kingdom of God into this world where we live. Hallelujah. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:11, Jesus told his disciples that thy will be done on earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Faith has its anchor in the unseen realm. Faith lives from the invisible to the visible. Faith provides eyes for the heart. Faith really lets us see from our spirit man instead of with our natural eyes. To encourage us in our capacity to see from our heart, Jesus gave us specific instruction. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." What are we to seek first? The kingdom and his righteousness. Seek first. Now, Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth." So where is our attention to be? On the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:18, and we're going to wait for this one to come up so you can look at it. It says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary." Everything we see in the natural is temporary. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Those things which are in the invisible realm to our natural selves are the eternal things. We grow in faith, seen from our spirit, when we worship. Now, we don't worship to get faith, but faith just is a good byproduct of worship. When we worship God, faith grows in our hearts. John 4:23, Jesus said, "But the hour is coming, and now is, that when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." He wants our worship. those who worship learn to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. Hallelujah. Learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Psalms 22:3 says that you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. God is holy, and it says he's enthroned in the praises of his people. When we worship God, that's where God's sitting on his throne, right in the midst of our praises. Hallelujah. That's where he is. That's where he rules. That's where he reigns in the midst of the praises of his people. Hallelujah. That's so exciting. Hallelujah. It's in the environment of worship that we learn things that go way beyond what our intellect can grasp. And the greatest of these lessons is the value of God's presence in our life. When you live in fellowship with the Lord, connected to the vine, hallelujah, you'll just begin to flow with the Lord, hallelujah, and be, you know, flowing with him. We'll learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's easy for us to begin to live our lives by our own efforts instead of being connected to the flow of the Spirit and letting him live through us by his Spirit. We're going to read Galatians 3, verse 2, and then verse 5. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Hallelujah. Down to verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or the hearing of faith? Faith isn't something we can work up on our own. It's tapping into God's presence, and that's where we find the faith. Hallelujah. Faith is something that happens in the Spirit, and then it affects the natural. The invisible realm is superior to the natural realm. Because the invisible is superior to the natural, faith is anchored in the unseen. Faith lives in the revealed will of God. And God reveals to us that he wants us healed. Now, if we thought that it was God's will for us to be sick, could we have faith for healing? No, because we would be coming against God's will. If we thought it was his will that we be sick, we would be kind of fighting with God if we were trying to get well. But when we know the heart of God, then we are faith. When we know what God wants, God, you know, just wake up every morning and say, God's in a good mood today. You know, God's just in a good mood today. He wants to bless me. He wants to heal me. He wants to meet my needs. He wants me to be happy and joyful and full of peace, you know, because he really does. He really wants blessings for his children. He wants us walking in his love and his shadow. Hallelujah. Unbelief is anchored in what is visible or recognizable apart from God. Unbelief honors the natural realm as superior to the invisible. People who believe the material world rules over the spiritual world call themselves realists. They are trained to believe only what they see with their natural eye. Real faith is not living in denial of the natural realm. Okay, so if a doctor says you have a tumor, would you say that it's a lie? I don't have a tumor. Deny that you have a tumor. No, it's silly to pretend that it's not there. That's not what faith is. However, faith is founded on a reality that is superior to the tumor. I can acknowledge the existence of a tumor and still have faith in provision that of his stripes for my healing. I was provisionally healed 2,000 years ago, and so we don't deny the problem, but we deny that problem a place of influence in our life. We say we have a greater reality, and that is that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And that's the truth. And that's a higher level. Hallelujah. It's a higher level than the natural realm. Don't let what the devil's doing get bigger in your awareness than your awareness of God's presence in your life. You know, we do have enemies, and the enemies come with battles. And we don't say, well, those aren't happening. They are happening. But there is a greater realization, a greater thing that God is with us. And the presence of God is stronger in my life than whatever the devil's out there trying to do. God's on my side. God's with me. And his presence is greater. The power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. And that's a higher revelation. Hallelujah. Faith is the product of the kingdom of heaven, a superior reality. There are no tumors in heaven, and faith brings that reality into this one. Would Satan like to inflict heaven with cancer? Yes, but he has no dominion there. He only has dominion here when and where man comes into agreement with him. Are we going to agree with God, or are we going to agree with what the enemy's trying to do? Faith is born of the Spirit in the hearts of man. Faith is neither intellectual nor anti-intellectual. It is a superior to the intellect. Faith is superior to our intellect. Faith is a gift and fruit of the Spirit. It's in the spirit realm, which is superior. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Through faith, man is able to come into agreement with the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in my spirit, and that's the place of communion with God. As we learn to receive from our spirits, we learn how to be spirit-led. We need to live from the inner man that's alive with Christ instead of from only our intellect. Hallelujah. God gave us our intellect too, but the spirit man is the boss. He's the boss. He's the head. He's the shepherd. He's the one that leads us. Amen. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Hebrews 11:3 says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God made the whole earth by his word, and then it became visible. So everything we see was made out of the invisible. But it's visible now. But it was made from the invisible. Hallelujah. Things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:6 tells us that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And the word of God, we love it, but you have to have the spirit of the word with the word. One time there was this little boy named Malcolm Smith that went to the ocean for the first time in his life, and he went, where a river flowed into the ocean, and so the tides were real extreme. They would come up real fast and go down real fast, and he was just amazed at the power of the water. I mean, if people didn't get out of the way, it could wash him away. And he was just fascinated by how powerful this water was in the ocean. And so he got a bucket, and he went and got a bucket of that water, and he took it to his hotel room. And then he sat, and he watched it, and he watched it, and he watched it, and it just didn't do anything. That water that was so powerful in the ocean just sat there in the room. Our key to receiving is being in him. If we remove ourselves from the presence of the Lord, we have removed ourselves from the power source. We need to be in him to be part of the power. when we're in Him, when we're in His presence, in Him, that power is alive and working. But if we try to grab some of it and separate it unto ourselves and remove ourselves from His power, you know, it just doesn't do anything. That's why it says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17. It says, so faith comes, is activated by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It doesn't say faith comes by having heard the word of God. It says it comes by hearing. It's the listening heart in the present tense that is ready for heaven's deposit of faith. Hearing now is the key to faith. Hearing God right now is the key to having faith. You've all probably heard this story, but it just fits so well. I'm going to tell that one more time. Years ago, Calvin and I were in Bahia Kino, and we set out to walk along the beach, and we were walking against the breeze, and we held hands, and we started trying to talk, and we couldn't hear a thing each other were saying. We would just start, and Calvin says, don't even try to talk, I can't hear you. And so we walked about a mile up the ocean, and then we turned around to start back. And when we turned around, we were walking with the wind. The wind didn't change, but we were walking with the wind, and we could hear a whisper. We could hear everything so good. And when that happened, the Spirit of the Lord rose up within me, and He said, when you're walking with me, you hear my voice. But when you're walking contrary to me, you can't hear anything. And everything's confusion. Hallelujah. We need to be moving with the Spirit, with the wind of the Spirit, moving with God. And we will hear His voice. People can't even get saved without hearing. Romans 10:14. Says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? People need to hear about Jesus from somebody that's in a relationship with Him, to catch the same spirit and faith that that person has. People, generally speaking, are burned out on religion. They're burned out on rules. And I have tried witnessing in different ways. When I was growing up in our church, we would have different witnessing programs where we'd have to go knock on doors and we would go talk to people about the Lord, but we were doing it because we felt like we had to get out and tell people about God, you know, to please God. And the people were just like, there was a wall because it wasn't coming. The why we were witnessing was to please our leaders, to do what we had to do. It was because of rules and law. It wasn't because of flow out of our spirit of the love of God. And it's just not received. And it's so important for you to talk to people about what God's done in your life, the reality. This is who God is to me. Look what He did for me. Testify. People are starving, really starving for the living, live God. But it needs to come as a witness of our relationship with God, not because it's a rule or it's something we have to do. Hallelujah. It needs to come from our hearts. Hallelujah. There's a command used 62 times in the Bible that is fear not. Fear not is 62 times. I think that's in the King James Version. It's because fear attacks the foundation of our relationship with God, our faith. Fear attacks our faith. Fear and faith cannot coexist. They cannot live in the same time in your heart. Satan has no power I skipped over scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So if we have fear, did it come from God? No, absolutely. Fear never comes from God. But fear comes from the enemy. It's not God. Satan has no power except through our agreement. Fear becomes our heart's response when we come into agreement with Satan's intimidating suggestions. Satan suggests things to our mind and says, you know, you really ought to watch out. And he suggests things to us, and all of a sudden, there's a fear rise up in our heart. You know, that didn't come from God. You know, resist the devil and he'll flee. When the devil comes trying to cause fear in our life, resist him and he will flee. Kick him out. There's no room for fear in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, the news and all the stuff that's happening around the world, we could be afraid of financial catastrophe in our nation. We could be afraid of ISIS and all that they're planning against us because there is an evil presence out there and the news just blares it all the time. And it would be easy to let those suggestions cause fear in our heart. But where is our trust? Where is our trust? Is our trust in this world's economy, or is it in the Lord? It's in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and if anybody would come to try and take our lives, the worst they could do is send us to heaven right now. I mean, how bad is that? There's no place for fear of any kind in our life. Hallelujah. The fear of death is one of the strongest fears there are. And, you know, Satan likes to put in our heart, well, you know, if you get cancer, you'll die. You know, if you get this, you'll die. And we need to conquer that fear of death. Our life is in Christ. We're alive. The real us can't die anyway. And when we get rid of that fear, we're able to rise up in faith. Hallelujah. Don't listen to that, those voices of Satan coming against you. Just listen to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Response to truth. You know, we don't listen to the devil, but respond to the truths of God's word. His spirit speaking to you. And don't live as a reaction to darkness, but live as a response to light. A surrendered heart to the Lord is a heart of faith, and faith must be present to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hallelujah. And Romans 12:3 tells us that God's dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. It's his gift. We all have faith. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:8 says, now by grace you've been saved through faith, and that it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Praise God. That's good news. The born-again experience enables us to see from the heart. Faith was never intended only to get us into the family. Rather, faith is the nature of life in this family. Faith sees. Faith brings the kingdom into focus. All of the Father's resources, all of his benefits are accessible through faith. Heaven's moved by faith. Hallelujah. It's moved by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. Just think about, there's a bank account in heaven where we have access to anything we need out of that bank account of heaven. It's for us. And I think of our faith is like the debit card. You go to the ATM machine and you use your debit card to draw out the money that you have in the bank. And there's a lots of benefits in the bank of heaven, and it's faith is our debit card that we use to draw it out. And the word tells us that faith works by love, so love can be our PIN number. Well, you know, we walk in love. That's our PIN number to get into the account. And then we use our faith to withdraw what we need from heaven. Hallelujah. Faith is the meeting ground between our limited self and our limitless God. We have limits, but God has no limits. And faith is that meeting ground. A point of contact is given as a means of helping us release our faith, something that tangible, something we do. And when we do it, we release our faith toward God. James 2:17 says, thus also faith by itself does not, if it does not have works or a corresponding action, is dead. We need a response to faith, a corresponding action to activate the faith. Obeying what God tells us to do is our works or our corresponding action. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures that show us this. Luke 5:4-6, Jesus was talking to Peter. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Peter's obedience to Jesus' command was the works. He obeyed. He did something. Jesus told him to do something. He did him. That was a works. That was a corresponding action that brought the harvest of all the fish in. Hallelujah. Matthew 9:20-22. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Made you well, and the woman was made well from that hour. For that woman, her touching Jesus was her point of contact where her faith was released. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. And she was. Acts 9:12 says, so that even handkerchiefs, talking about Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. The handkerchiefs were their point of contact where they released their faith to receive from the Lord. Romans 10:9, it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confessing is your point of contact that triggers your faith. It's the works. Faith without works. You know, you may believe you're healed, but confess you're healed. You may believe, you know, you feel the Lord's drawing you to salvation, but the confession is part of the works. It's the corresponding action that needs to make it complete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive everything from God the same way by believing and confessing or acting on it in some way. There, we all have a measure of faith, but faith can be increased. Jude 1:20 says, but you, brethren, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying, fellowshipping with God charges our spirit battery. It's just like, you know, we have an alternator that when we run our cars, it charges our battery. And we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. And when we pray in the Spirit, it charges us up. It edifies us. It charges our battery. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to skip a few things and go to Ephesians 3:14-21. Hallelujah. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. Hallelujah. That's my prayer for you. That's Paul's prayer for us, that we be strengthened. Hallelujah. With might through his Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be enrooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your abundant grace, your abundant love toward us, Lord. We thank you that you just love us so much. And we don't deserve your love, but while we were in sinners, you died for us. And you just so wanted fellowship with your people. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you that as we receive your grace, as we receive you as our Savior, that Holy Spirit is in the inside of us, that power source, that Holy Spirit is there, it's in us. And Lord, I thank you that we will walk in the Spirit, that we will walk after you, that we will talk after you, that we, Lord, we need you today, we need you right now. We need you in this more moment. Lord, our life is dependent on you. Father, I need you. I need you. I need you right now. I need you every day. I need the closeness of the Holy Spirit working within me. I need, Father, anoint us to be led by our spirits, to live with the Spirit man within us as the boss, as the leader, that we follow, that we be led by the Spirit, that we follow the presence and the anointing of the Holy Spirit within us. Father, we just right now, let's stand up and lift our arms to the Lord. Father, just raise your hand to the Lord and say, God, I need you. I just need you. I need you right now. And you are my shepherd, and I will follow where you lead, and I will follow you. Oh, I will hide there under the shadow of the Almighty. I will be there in your pasture, Father. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, the Lord is calling out to his people. Oh, come to me, come to me, come to me. Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says the Lord. Oh, come with me, walk with me, talk with me, live. Oh, hallelujah, from your Spirit, man. Holy, 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 thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone here that has never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never received him as your personal Savior, the Lord would just love for you to come into fellowship with him today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If anyone has a need that you need agreement in prayer for and would like prayer, we'll just love to pray for you and be in agreement. Oh, I just feel the presence of the Lord resting on this congregation right now. Just feel his presence overshadowing you. Hallelujah. This is just a time of surrendering to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.